Well, let's read John chapter 3 and verse 16 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And just for clarity, guys, up there, this is the beginning of the message, not what I did before. All righty, thumbs up, there you go. All right. Yeah. All right. We've been talking about the name of Jesus, and there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved in heaven and earth. There's no other name. But let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want us to look at this for a minute as we share these thoughts today. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17. Still have pages turning. I'm going to read this from the King James Version. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, starting in verse 17, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches, and again, I like to put in here that you may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So we can see here that we have an inheritance. We didn't earn it. This was something secured by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We have an inherited by accepting him. We've inherited all of the blessings afforded to Jesus have been afforded to us. And verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness that you would know, I'll say it that way, and you would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, where far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things, who? To the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the prayer here that Paul was praying, starting actually in verse 17, was that they would see, they would receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And so that, what would we say a revelation is? It's a knowing. It's a clarity. You know something. Not just your intelligence, but the eyes of your understanding. Where is that? Your spirit. You know something. It's like you reading along in the Bible. You're reading it, but then all of a sudden, there's clarity. You see something that you never saw before. That's revelation. That's the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You go, wow, I never saw that before. Well, The scripture says the word is light. So as you read it, as you let that enter your eyes and you meditate upon it, the entrance of his word, Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of his word brings light and giveth what? Understanding, revelation to the simple. So we know things we didn't know before. But Paul is saying that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him for what? Well, you can see it right here. There's a colon right after that. That means the thought continues. There's more that pertains to that thought, right? What does it say? When you get the knowledge of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, what? So that you, the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That you may what? Know what is the hope of his calling, and that you would know what are the riches of this inheritance that you've been given. You would know what the value of the name of Jesus is. That's what those early apostles had. They knew there was a revelation in the name. No fear. And they walked. That's why they could walk just like when, and we'll get over there in a moment, in Acts where Peter and John go to the temple gate of Beautiful. And after they raised that man, what did they do? They pulled him in and they did what? They threatened them. That they do what? Teach no more in the name. So what did they do? They prayed. And they said, give us more boldness that we go out. They weren't going to go, oh boy, I guess we can't do that again. No. They knew the power in that name. And that's what I know Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he said for 6 months, he prayed this prayer that God would give him a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And he said in 6 months, he got more revelation from God than he had in all the years that he had been studying the Bible. A knowing. Amen. And so, I tell you, I like to follow people who are successful. Start praying that prayer. And expect that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Amen. So as we attain more wisdom and revelation, more light in the knowledge of him, we'll do more. Amen. We'll do more. Let's turn over to John chapter 14 and 16. John 14 and verse 12 through 14. John 14 verses 12. Starting verse 12, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, you can look that up for yourself. If you look it up in a Strong's Concordance, if for some that don't know that, you can just go out and Google that, and you can find the website for that, and you can just look up this scripture. And you can see the Greek word that's used for ask is really require or demand. Now, we're not demanding of God. Nobody demands God to do anything. He's God. But we're demanding our rights and from our rights and privileges that have been afforded us being in Christ. We can demand those rights and privileges in the name of Jesus. He said, if you demand in my name, you're demanding. Well, let me ask this question. Some of you have insurance policies, car policies, life insurance policies. Do you demand things? Yes, you do. And if somebody says, oh, no, you can't have that, you go, well, I'm sorry, but it's right here. And you say, I'm sorry, but I want this. I demand this. I signed this contract. I pay on this. Well, Jesus paid so that we would have an inheritance in him. We can demand things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what that means. John, let's look at John 16. John 16, and I believe verse 23 and 24. And it says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask. It's the same thing. Demand or require. Same Greek word. The Father in my, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask. He's telling us to ask. And you shall receive that your joy may be full. Now I'm going to read something that actually came out of the Strong's Concordance. And I'm sure it'll help you. Let me just find it here in a second. But if you look it up, okay, where to go? It'd be here. Ah, there it is. This word ask in the Strong's Concordance, it's number 4441. I know that doesn't mean anything to you, but you can look it up. There's a Strong's Concordance number for each Greek or Hebrew word and the root words. But it says that this Greek word translated is to demand something due. So when you ask God or you require or you demand of something in the name of Jesus, you're demanding something that's due. Do what? Due because of Jesus. I believe in 1 Corinthians, I says that all the promises, is it 1 Corinthians or 2nd? I'll read that scripture here in a second. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. So all the promises of God in him are yes. So that's why we can demand and ask of God. And he'll do it because he's already said yes for anything we ask according to his will. He says yes. So that's why we can demand some things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now let's turn over to, just want to look at a few scriptures that we looked at in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2:15. And it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In what? The cross. The contemporary English version says, there Christ defeated all powers and forces. He let the world see them being led away as prisoners when he celebrated his victory. The New Living Translation says, in this way, he disarmed, he stripped off the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So in that name, they've been defeated. They've been spoiled. And that has been given, that authority over him in this earth has been given to who? The church. Now, let me tie back in. I know it's not on the tape, but let me tie back in on that little story I was sharing about this gentleman in China. And I shared that term, fog. How many remember, and I may pull it out in the next lesson, how many remember Brother Hagin talking about when Jesus appeared to him in one of the visions? Jesus was talking to him. They could see each other face to face. And he was talking to him. And in the middle of that conversation, Brother Hagin says, a demon spirit jumped in the middle of them. And he said, what did he say? He threw up a smoke screen, fog. And he said he could hardly hear Brother Hagin. And he couldn't see him. And he was like, Jesus, when are you going to get rid of this? I can't hear you. I can't see you. We were having this conversation. And he said, finally, he had enough. And Brother Hagin said, he said, in the name of Jesus, go. Yes. And he said, that demon spirit left and the smoke screen cleared up. And he could see Jesus and hear him. Let me tell you something. Same thing here. When you can't hear him clearly. Now, it could be you're not spending enough time. But sometimes clarity, spiritual clarity comes from these forces that we wrestle against. But they've been defeated. They've been spoiled. It's not where we just lay down and whimper and cry. We get up and say, no, in the name of Jesus, you leave my house. You leave this region in the name of Jesus. Because they've been spoiled. They've been disarmed. Hallelujah. We need to rise up and take the rightful place that's been given us and start to work with God and say, Lord, I take the name of Jesus and the authority that you've given me and start to push back darkness. Now, we're not doing it, but God's working through us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll read this. You don't need to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. And the Moffat's translation says, it is not the wisdom of this world or of the dethroned powers who rule this world. You do know that these dethroned powers are still ruling this world until Jesus comes. Hallelujah. His lease isn't up yet. But when Jesus comes, he'll be chained and thrown out into the pit. Glory to God. Now let's turn over today. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Very familiar scripture. It says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father," how? By him. I like this. This is the Amplified. It says, "And whatever you do, no matter what it is," that makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? No matter what it is, "whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person." We have to depend on him. "Giving praise to God the Father through him." So whatever we do, whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that means that the name of the Lord Jesus has something to do with us in everyday life. That means whatever we do, if you're cooking, you're singing, you're driving, you're shopping, whatever you're doing, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Amen. So the early church, everywhere they went and everything they did was in the name of Jesus. They did it all in the name of Jesus. They were conscious of the name of Jesus. And when you think about that, the outside, those outside the church feared that name more than anything else, because they were ever conscious of the name. Everything they did was in the name. And they feared that name. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Acts. We're going to look at a few scriptures in the book of Acts here for a minute. Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. Just a few. Verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name," in the name "of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Turn over to Acts chapter 3. Familiar story. Acts chapter 3. This is the story of Peter and John and the crippled man, the lame man at the gate beautiful, or gate of the temple, which is beautiful. And you know the story, how Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." Verse 7, it says, "He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." And I like this. Verse 9 says, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God." So this was irrefutable. They saw it. They saw the effects of the name of Jesus. And so, you could see here, verse 11, it says, "And the lame man which was healed, held Peter and John, And all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And then, of course, Peter goes on to say, you know, it's not by our power or holiness that we made this man to walk. And so when you get down to verse 16, it says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So it was in the name and faith in the name that made him strong. Hallelujah. And look at verse, chapter 4. And of course, you can see here, Peter goes on and he shares to those assembled what they needed to do, repent therefore, be converted, so forth. In chapter 4, they didn't like it. They didn't like that. And what'd they do? It says in verse 3, they laid hands on them, put them in hold unto the next day. And when you go down, in verse 7, it says, by what power, what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, down in verse 10, says, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel, but that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And so, verse 16, see, this ought to be our testimony right here, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed, see, a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and what? We cannot deny it. See, that's why it's important today, signs and wonders and miracles, because those that are throwing and not accepting what's being shared, they can't deny the miracles. They can't deny that. They may not like what you share. They may grit their teeth, just like these officials did here, these religious leaders. They grit their teeth. What are we going to do with them? We can't deny the miracles. So what'd they do? They said, well, let's threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and did what? Commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in what? The name of Jesus. So they could do anything else. You could sing all the songs you want. Just don't use the name of Jesus in that song. Pastor Clinton went through that with one producer here. He said, you know, it'll sell more. You'll get more radio time if you just take the name Jesus out. I'm serious. I heard that. And that's what a lot of them will do. You can say the man upstairs. You can say him, he, who, whatever. But don't use the name Jesus, because that might offend someone. But yet, we can say Muhammad. And that won't offend anybody, because he dead. He not alive. He's not risen from the dead. But Jesus rose from the dead for the sins of all mankind. I'll tell you, that'll get the devil upset. And what'll he do? He gets people offended, because where does he do? He's affecting their minds. Let's threaten them. Huh. No. So what did they do? Verse 23, and being let go, where did they go? They went to their own company, the group that they were a part of, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They didn't come in there whimpering and crying. What does it say? And when they heard that, what did they do? They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And of course, you go down and then it's, what does it say? Verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. See, that's what we need to say. Behold these threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by what? The name of thy holy child, Jesus. Hallelujah. And verse 31, and when they had prayed, what? The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word with boldness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we can see all that we do is in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now let's turn over for a second to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Starting in verse 9. It says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Oh, you know what? Let me read this from the New Living Translation, because I think it makes it a little clearer. Don't you know that those who do wrong will have no share in the kingdom of God? That makes it a little plainer. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, who are idol worshipers, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, abusers, and swindlers, none of these will have a share in the kingdom of God. There was a time, verse 11, when some of you were just like that, but now your sins have been washed away, and you've been set apart for God. You have been made right with God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God has done for you. In the King James, it says, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So this says here, if you're practicing these types of things, you'll have no part in the kingdom of God. And it said, but some of us have been that way, or were that way. And what does it say? We were washed. Yes. Our sins were cleansed. Yes. And we were washed and cleansed and made right with God. Yes. Hallelujah. Well, you know, if you're not right with God and you're still stuck in those things, and you know the Lord Jesus, what does it say? It's real easy. Just ask him to forgive you, and he'll do what? Wash your sins and cleanse you so that you'll have a part in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 4. Chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And look at verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because, why? As he is, so are we in this world. So as he is, we're to be as him in this world. We're to be a reflection of him in this world. That means here, he died for the sinner. We're to love them. Jesus doesn't, he doesn't love your stuff. He doesn't love your mess, but he loves you. And as he is, we are to be as he is in this world. We don't love the sin, but we love the sinner whom he died for. Amen. He doesn't approve of you doing all of these things. He doesn't approve it. He's there to love you and to forgive you. Hallelujah. So let's look at this few more scriptures. Hebrews 13. Let's back up a little bit. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13, look at verse 15. These are the things that we're to do in his name. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus. This says here in the King James, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is what? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The New Living, I like this. It says, with Jesus' help, yes, sir, let us continually offer our sacrifice of praise to God by proclaiming the glory of his name. But you're doing it with his help, with the help of Jesus. Turn to James chapter, you're right there, James 5, verse 14. James chapter 5, look at verse 14. Let me back up to 13. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in what? In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what we're to do. We're to anoint and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. And let's look one last scripture here, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. This is the commandment that we were left with. Hope this is this makes it real clear here. And this is his commandment, that we should what? Believe on what? The name of his Son Jesus Christ, and do what? Love one another as he gave us commandment. So we have two commandments. Believe on the name and love one another. That's it. Hallelujah. Believe on the name. We're not only to believe on the Lord Jesus, but we're told to believe on the name, in the name. Hallelujah. So this new covenant that we have, we're to love one another and believe in his name. It's the name and faith in the name that made this man whole. The more that we meditate and spend time with God, that's why we were back in Ephesians chapter 1 when it talks about asking for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. For what purpose? So that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of His calling, that I may know what is the riches of this inheritance that He's given me, and that I may know what is the exceeding greatness of this power. What power? Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, where? Far above all principalities and powers and darkness. Hallelujah. They've been spoiled. They've been defeated. And the more insight and wisdom and revelation that we have, we'll walk. It'll be that, as we sing that song, it's an army rising up. This army of the Lord Jesus will rise up in the name of Jesus and begin to take back from the devil things that he's taken. Hallelujah. So I am one that as we come together in unity and prayer, and you know, since I've come back, I've also seen a little more clearly that when people are clouded, they don't even see the need to hook up with other Christians. Well, we're running our race over here. I'm too busy to hook up over here. See, because there's fog. And the devil doesn't want the church to come together. So what does he do? He gets them to bicker amongst one another and fight. But it's about time that those with clarity, with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, rise up and expose it. And say, no, we're not going to tolerate that. We're going to forbid it in the name of Jesus. Amen. How about you? Are you going to sit back and whimper and cry and complain and whine? Or are we going to rise up in the name of Jesus and take back the territories that have been stolen and the lives wrecked and destroyed? We're going to take back this precious prize of what Jesus died for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm looking at my dear brother Juan here. He came up. Now, you know brother Juan. He came up here, he came out to me in the lobby. He said, in the place that I room, he said, this person came up, would give me all kinds of hassles and everything. He said, I use the name of Jesus. And this is what he said. He didn't bother me no more. That's what I'm talking about. You just take simple faith. See, don't whine and complain. So-and-so is bothering me, but use the name. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against people, but demons have influenced people to disrupt you. Get on his case. I like what T.L. Osborne used to say. He said, whenever I would go into a foreign country and he'd get off the jet to go minister, he would say, royalty has just arrived. That wasn't highlighting himself. He just knew who he was in Christ. He was there to help. He came in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Well, bless God. Hallelujah. God is good, and the devil is defeated. Bless God. I'm finished for today, and we'll pick up at another time. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless God. Bless God. Did you get anything? Or I'll say it another way. I know you're getting it. Do something with what you're hearing. If there's some area of your life that's not pleasing to you, or you haven't been as successful, start asking if there's conflict. Use the name. You know, I took hold of this as a young Christian. I remember walking through some things and being frustrated about, you know, people and circumstances. And the Lord reminded me, use the name. Use the name. Use the name. And people that didn't want to hear the gospel, you know, I'd be like, man, why don't they want? And you get frustrated. I would start using the name and say, I command you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, stop blinding this person to the gospel. And I would go talk to him after that, you know, in some cases a couple of weeks or whatever I've been using the name, and that person would say, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. Because that which hindered has been pushed back. That's why I'm saying when the atmosphere changes over an individual or over a region, people see. They don't block the goodness of God. Amen. So if you're wrestling against these forces, but use the name. It's the name and faith in the name. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more you meditate in the word of God, faith will rise when you use the name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We are overcomers in him. Glory to God. Bless God. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you that we are overcomers in Christ Jesus and by him. And we thank you, Father, for the name of Jesus, that all authority is in the name. And that name and he is seated in the highest place in the universe. There's nothing beneath it. So when we use the name, every knee must bow. Every circumstance must bow to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, we take our rightful place as your children, as your sons and daughters, and we lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise today in the name of Jesus.